Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs. Mishneh Yomi continues for Erev Shabbat Toldot in Chapter 6, Mishnah 6 of Yevamot. Vav, Vav. Lo yibatel adam mipirya rivya. A person may not refrain himself from trying to have children. This mitzvah, pirya rivya, to be fruitful and multiply. From the word pri, fruit, and rav, to get bigger, to expand the number. Elim ken yesh lo banim, unless he already has children. So if a man does not yet have children, he should continue to try to have children, as the Mishnah will explain. Beit Shammai omrim shnei zacharim. Beit Shammai says the minimum number of children to have fulfilled this mitzvah is two males. Beit Hillel omrim zachar nekeva. Beit Hillel says you need a boy and a girl. Obviously the world can't continue with just boys. Shenemar, and the pasuk, the verse back in Bereshit, in Genesis, hints to this, Zachar Nekeva Baram, Hashem made them male and female. So just like the original creation of the world, Hashem made a male and a female human being, so too a Jewish couple should strive to have a male and a female human being, a mazel tov, God willing. Now again, we never paskin halacha and answer personal family planning questions based on the Mishnah. So if there is a family planning issue or, you know, health issue or concern, consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Here the Mishnah goes on, Nosa Isha, a man married a woman, mazel tov, v'shaha ima eser shanim, and they were together for 10 years, v'lo yolda, and there were no children. Einu rishoy lebatol, the man can't just give up. Meaning he still has the commandment, the mitzvah of peri rivia. He should seek medical intervention, spiritual intervention, perhaps marry a second wife if that situation is allowed. So he has to try to do something. Gersha, what if the man divorces this first wife who had no children? Muteret linose lacher. She is allowed to go marry someone else. We don't assume she was necessarily the problem. It could have been his problem. It could have been just both of them together. It could have been bad mazel. So we don't assume that she is unable to bear children. She's able to marry another man. Virashaya Shani, and this, her second husband, he is able, lishchot ima eser shanim, to wait another 10 years. And then, obviously, if she doesn't have children, then that second husband needs to seek something to help. Imhi pila, and if she does get pregnant, but Nebuch lo aleinu has a miscarriage, mone mishosha pila. And we count the 10 years from that. Now, this 10 years, we actually learn from Avraham and Sarah that they were married 10 years. They were together 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, and Sarah had no children. And that's when Sarah herself suggested that Avraham take a concubine to marry Hagar as his concubine and bear children. And the Bartanura here cites from the Gemara that, what do you mean, they were married a lot longer than 10 years. He says that the years they spent in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they don't count. De Dilma Yeshivat Chutz La'aretz Gorma. Maybe it was the, you know, the spiritual inadequacy of living outside of Israel. That's what prevented them from having children. So once they moved to Eretz Yisrael, then after 10 years, Sarah suggested that Avraham, you know, seek alternate arrangements to try to have an heir. The Mishnah continues with an amazing halacha, ha'ish, the man, mitzuva ol peri rivya. He's the one commanded to be fruitful and multiply, of all lo ha'isha, but women are not commanded. Now, obviously, Hashem put into the biological and emotional makeup of women that they will desire to have children, especially if they're holding cute babies. The Bartanura here cites from the Gemara that the Lashon is pruer vu v'chivshua, to be fruitful and multiply and to conquer. And this Kivshua, he says it's the normal way for men to go out and conquer, not for women. So we don't put the obligation on women to do everything they can to have children. We put that obligation onto men. Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, Omer, he disagrees. He says, Ol Shnehim, who remember, it's really said about both of them, Vaivorech Otam Elukim, Hashem will bless you, Vayomer Lahem Elukim Puravu, and Hashem told them to be fruitful and multiply. So really, he said that Pasuk is talking about both of them, that both the men and the women are commanded to make an effort. The halacha is not, the halacha is the man is incumbent to make an effort. Obviously, women in Jewish families do everything they can through tefillah and tzedakah and all the efforts. And every couple who's having difficulty should be blessed, please God, to have healthy children soon. And meanwhile, let's go on to chapter 7. Olmono lekohen gadol. So what if a widow marries a kohen gadol? As we explained in the last chapter, that's illegal. Grusha lechalutz lekohen hedyot, or a divorcee or a chalutzee to a regular kohen, also illegal. But what happens to the property rights and the truma eating rights if they actually went ahead with this unfortunate marriage? Hichniso lo, she brought into the marriage avdei malog v'avdei tzon barzo. servants, but some of the servants are what's called nichsei malog. Now, malog means plucking, and as we will see, we've mentioned earlier in the Masechta, but we'll see in this Mishnah in more detail, that this means the husband gets the rights to use this item and returns it in whatever condition it's in. That's malog. He gets to pluck it. For instance, she brings an orchard, he can go ahead and pick all the apples and eat them. And if the marriage ends, the orchard goes back to her. And avdei tzon barzel, servants who are tzon barzel, not tzon barzel, means iron sheep. Now, iron sheep sounds like a superhero. It actually means that their value, they were assessed and their value was written down in the ksuva, in the marriage contract. They would assess these items and write them down. So the husband is on the hook. So again, for example, she brought in an apple orchard and the husband decides he doesn't like, they assess the value, it's worth $1 million. He decides he doesn't like apples, he rips out the apples and plants grapes, and then the grapes don't do so well. Well, that loss is on him, and if the marriage ends, he has to give her that $1 million, which was the value of the orchard originally. He's on the hook. That's why it's referred to as tzon barzel, like an indestructible sheep. So here's the story, is this guy's a Kohen, so a Kohen can eat truma, the tithe, and a Kohen can feed the members of his household, his wife and kids, and his servants, his tithes as well. And here the Mishnah explains, of the malog, the servants who are malog, who the husband has the rights to use their labor during the marriage, lo yochlo b'truma, they cannot eat his truma, of the tzon barzel, yochelu, but the ones that are tzon barzel, that he's on the hook for their value, they can eat truma. The elu hen avdei malug, and these are the avdei malug. The Mishnah explains, imetu, if they pass away, metu lo, she bears the loss. She is still is the real owner of this asset. It's just the husband has rights to use it. Im hotiru, if they become more valuable, hotiru lo, she gains the benefit of an increase in value. It's really hers at the end of the day. Afal pi shu chayev b'mizonotam, even though the husband is obligated to feed these avdei malug, hare elu lo yochlo b'truma, they can't eat his truma, because really the real ownership is vested in the wife still. Elohen avdei tzon barzel, and these are the servants he's on the hook for. Imetu metu lo, if one of them passes away, he has to reimburse the wife for the entire value written in the kesuvos. They're assessed. Im hotiru hotiru lo, becomes more valuable, then he can gain the benefit of that increase. Ha'il v'luchayiv v'achriyutan, and because he is responsible for their replacement, harei elu yochle b'truma, they can eat from his truma like his own vadim, his own assets can. Yashar koach, and a good Shabbos.